ASAP. Any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, who did this?
Let's go. Come on.
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown. 90-yard touchdown.
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogmeyer, and on today's show, joined by Chargers Encyclopedia, John Kegley as well. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Before we get started, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons. We also do our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What is up, guys, and welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast. We appreciate you listening, and we have a lot to get into on today's show. For the news today, we're going to be getting into a list of the NFL's top 25 prospects, which are basically later round draft picks who haven't played very much, that ESPN is expecting to have a breakout season or to break out soon, that haven't played a lot of snaps. The Chargers have two guys who show up on that list, a couple of young players who should be successful pretty soon here. So we'll get into that to start the show. In the second segment, we're going to be talking about something that's happened over the last couple of days, which is Jim Trotter came out and said that he's heard about some contract negotiations potentially for the Chargers and Keenan Allen after their big deal with Joey Bosa. So we'll get into that. And then we'll also get into some of Anthony Lynn's comments this week, including him saying that right now he expects Tyrod Taylor to be the day one starter. But we're going to finish the show by getting into some voicemails. We have some voicemails about maybe the Chargers not needing to worry so much about their wide receiver three position, and then just a bunch of excitement about Joey Bosa, and also wondering who's next on the list or who we would bring back in 2021 between Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry, or maybe even both. But let's go ahead and get into it. This week, ESPN has come out with its ranking of the NFL's top 25 prospects, and two Chargers made the list. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogmeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. This week, ESPN has shared its list of the NFL's top 25 prospects, the young players who could break out in 2020. And this list is basically younger, less appreciated players that they expect to break out, even if they didn't have a lot of hype surrounding them in the draft. Some of the previous players to show up on this list are guys like Geno Atkins, Grady Jarrett, Chris Godwin, and Tyreek Hill. So they've definitely found some kind of diamond in the roughs before this, and they base this off of scouting statistics, measurables, context ceiling, and much more. And the only thing that you have to have for this is you have to be drafted in the third round or later, enter the league between 2017 and 2019, and have fewer than 500 career snaps. And two Chargers ended up making the list. The first was Drew Tranquil, the Chargers linebacker at number 13, and then Justin Jackson coming in right after that at number 14. So let's start with Drew Tranquil, David, who obviously had a pretty quick rise to being a big part of this Chargers defense and special teams in 2019. And he shows up on this list as one of the young prospects in the NFL that's going to continue to get better and maybe even have a breakout year in 2020.
Drew Tranquil came into the league for the Chargers as a fourth round pick, and the coaching staff said, "Hey kid, you're going to have to go impress us on special teams before you're going to be able to work your way onto the defense." And that's exactly what Drew Tranquil did. He had two blocked punts as a rookie, and then in limited time on the defense after he showed his mettle on special teams, he also put up some respectable numbers with 75 tackles and 4 tackles for loss in limited time. He is a very good coverage linebacker. One incredible stat that was in this ESPN article was that Drew Tranquil only gave up 2 passes of 15 yards or more. Drew Tranquil definitely has a lot of great qualities in him that seems like with more playing time can only blossom and get much better, and that is only going to be good news for the Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers desperately needed help with the linebacker position, and many people didn't think they did enough last season to bring in more help, but Drew Tranquil in the fourth round ended up being the guy they needed, ended up getting a lot of reps at the middle linebacker position, with Denzel Perryman getting hurt once again. And now going into this year, you'd think he's going to be a starter pretty quick if he's not the opening day starter, or at least in sub packages will definitely be a starter. And I think with him and Kenneth Murray, that's a duo that you can get very excited about going forward for a position of weakness for the Chargers over the last few years. But the other guy that's come on this list is Justin Jackson, who's been sort of an enigma with the Chargers because he is absolutely explosive. We saw him lead the league through 3 or 4 weeks in the NFL last year, averaging a ridiculous 9 yards per carry, with some big runs even called back. And David, they're looking at his low career snap numbers and wondering if this is the year with a potentially bigger role, with Josh Kelly having a slow start coming into his rookie season, that he can finally break out as well.
I think with Justin Jackson, it's all about health. He's only played in 20 of the available 32 games, but when he is on the football field, he is extremely dynamic. According to this article, he had the highest DVOA of any back with more than 20 rushes at 34.9%. And in 2018, he recorded a 29.9 receiving DVOA as well. Justin Jackson has put up some great stats in limited action. I mean, 79 rushing attempts, 406 rushing yards, 5.1 yards per attempt average. In 7 games last year, he was even more explosive, 6.9 yards per attempt. But that's just the problem. Justin Jackson has just gotten hurt too often in his short NFL career. And for him to be able to put it all together, it's all going to require him to be on the football field. And for a guy that's smaller in stature, he's been incredibly elusive and really, really good at breaking tackles. According to the article, he has broken 27 tackles in only 103 touches, which is absolutely insane. It's probably something that Justin Jackson's not going to be able to keep up, but still, it just shows how difficult it is to bring this guy to the ground. If he's able to stay healthy, he's going to put up numbers, and this Chargers offense could only benefit from having the shifty Justin Jackson go out there and perform and play for 16 games.
And we'll see what his role looks like. There's a lot of uncertainty on how many snaps each one of these guys is going to get. But Justin Jackson going into his third season, you've heard the coaches talk about, hey, he just needs to stay on the field. So this is going to be a big year for him to prove that he should be on the team. And even more than that, prove that he can be an impact player. Because we know when we've seen him on the field, there's not many more explosive players on the Chargers offense. He can turn something little into something big, and he just makes people miss. And there's always going to be a place like that, but you have to stay healthy. But we do have 2 more segments to get into. Next, we are going to be talking about Keenan Allen contract rumors and potential negotiations with the Chargers, and also Anthony Lynn's latest comments. But first, I need to tell you guys that one of the most frustrating things in the world is when you need a car part and you either don't know where to find it, or you're going around to different chain storefronts and looking for the part and you can't find it. But I can change all of that for you guys with rockauto.com. They have everything that you ever need. And the best part about it is you're going to get the same price as a mechanic or anyone else who knows what it should be. I can't tell you how many times I've been looking for a part and I've gotten so many different quotes on the prices for that part, and now you don't have to worry about it, because the rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. And best of all the prices are reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts you need for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So only one day after the big Joey Bosa contract news fell and the Chargers finally locked up their defensive superstar, we were all wondering the same thing, which is now, when are the Chargers going to extend their next biggest priority, which is Keenan Allen? You haven't heard as much about the Keenan Allen contract because so many people were worried about whether the Chargers would actually want to pay Joey Bosa, knowing he was going to get top money, and he did end up getting top money. But Jim Trotter, the next day, an NFL analyst, said that the Chargers are working with Keenan Allen already on contract negotiation, which has to be good news, John, because that is somebody who is right now their best and most consistent offensive player, doing it for the last 3 seasons. There's been barely anyone that's been able to keep up with what he's been able to do, averaging 100 catches, about 1,300 yards, and 6 touchdowns over the last 3 years while staying fully healthy. So what did you think when you saw that the Chargers weren't just done with Joey Bosa and going to be content with that, but now they're moving on to their biggest offensive weapon?
My initial thoughts were, who is this front office and what have they done with my Chargers? They're signing their big-name players. What is going on here? They signed Joey Bosa, and now they're going to go after Keenan Allen? Like, what? You mean we're not trying to let these guys go, like the Vincent Jacksons and the Darren Sproles and so on and so forth? Like, we're actually signing these guys? And then I had to look up some contract details to see what could Keenan Allen maybe fit into. And with Julio making like $22 million a year, and maybe a guy like A.J. Green who doesn't play the last year, making $18 million, we probably would all agree Keenan Allen's better than A.J. Green. But is he better than Tyreek Hill or Michael Thomas, who make $18 and $19 million? It becomes an interesting combo because you have to pay them respectfully to where he is in the league. And based on this, he'd have to make somewhere around the $18 to $20 million range. Would we be able to fit that in the salary cap? Would you have a Joey Bosa and a Keenan Allen both on your roster and still be able to fill all your other needs and not let those two contracts just cripple the roster because you can't sign anybody else? Like, that's basically where my thought process is right now. Does Keenan deserve it? Do I hope he gets it? Absolutely. But you got to figure out what the long-term plan is as well.
Yeah, and I think it's not going to be even like 5 years like Amari Cooper. He will only be 28 after this season, so he's definitely still on the younger side. I think you can give him a four-year contract and feel like you're reasonably still going to get a bunch of his prime in those years. And I mean, he's only been getting better, and I think the next step in his game is, you know, scoring more touchdowns, but who knows if that's going to happen with the Chargers potentially throwing the ball less this season. But yeah, I think somewhere between that, you know, 18 to 20 million range is probably the sweet spot of what he's going to ask for. I don't know if he could really ask for more than Julio Jones, at least not as much guaranteed money as well, because so much of that contract is guaranteed. But could he get something like a four-year, around, you know, $76 million contract, something along those lines? I mean, I think it's potentially something that could happen. Give him something like $40 million guaranteed, and you're guaranteeing a little bit more of it just to make sure you can get it. But I think that you can give out that contract without feeling like you're going to be paying someone that's not going to bring their worth. I think Keenan Allen still has plenty of game left, and I think that it would be a contract they would not regret. But I do want to get into these Anthony Lynn comments, because he did talk to the media this week, and one of the more interesting things that he said, David, was just the fact that at this point, with the lack of everything that they've missed because of COVID-19, that they still plan at this point that it's probably going to be Tyrod Taylor who is the opening day starter. And not that this is a surprise, because I think we all expected that to some extent, even though they were saying at one point it was a competition. I think that with everything that he points out in this press conference, I mean, it just seems like there's nothing that Justin Herbert, especially with no preseason games, could do to get ahead of Tyrod Taylor. But that's really just them sticking to the plan they had originally, which is let this guy sit and develop.
Yeah, I think it's impossible for the Chargers to expect that Justin Herbert, with all the time that he's already missed, is going to be able to be ready to be the starting quarterback for the Chargers this year. There's just too many obstacles in the way. And I think he really spelled that out in his quote when he said QB coach Pep Hamilton is going to be working with him. He's going to do everything he can to make sure that he's ready. But he also acknowledged the fact that with all this missed time, it's pretty impossible to make up for those physical reps that he missed on the practice field. They just don't have that time. They can't make that up. So having an established NFL veteran quarterback like Tyrod Taylor, especially a guy that Anthony Lynn has already worked with, already knows, they already have a relationship together, they have a business relationship together, they know how each other works, it's really going to be invaluable in this offseason. It makes the most sense to have Tyrod be the starter and have Justin Herbert learn under Tyrod Taylor and then possibly take over the reins next year or when an injury arises.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think this is news at this point, but one of the ways that Justin Herbert might be able to get something close to that experience is what Anthony Lynn kind of proposed the Chargers are going to do since there's no preseason games, which is having a lot more game type scenarios where you're running clock and you're running game situations at practice, so you can do things like the 2 minute drill or the 4 minute drill, or, you know, have an opening drive and things like that. I mean, the Chargers can try to do that all they want to, John, and obviously that's going to be the best place for undrafted free agents to try to kind of make a statement, but at this point we don't even know what these practices are going to look like with all of the new rules that the NFL is imposing. So I think that it's a good plan to have more of those types of situations so you get players ready for it, but at the same time there's no way to really simulate being on the field against another team.
You can't really simulate a game time situation in practice at all, no matter what situation you bring up. You can put crowd noise in, you can put a clock on, you can put the best players you have on defense, for example, and make it simulate who you're going to play the best that you can. But in the end, you're not going to feel as nervous. You're not going to feel all the pressure that you need, and you're not going to be able to deal with adjustments. Because, for instance, let's say you go, okay, it's the end of practice. Let's run some two-minute drills real quick, guys. You don't have a game plan from the first three quarters that makes you go, okay, the other team's going to do this, and they don't have the same thing where they go, okay, they might do this for the two-minute drill. We've adjusted. You don't have any of that. All you have is, let's just see how well we can complete passes and run the clock and use the clock to our advantage. Other than that, you don't have the pressure and you don't have game plan. Unless you can somehow figure out a way to simulate those, like find a coach from that team that might have an idea. Like if you're going to play the Panthers this week, find an old coach from the Panthers from last year, see if they know some ideas of what they might do, pay them to come in and show it to you. That's probably as close as you're going to get. Other than that, all you're doing is just teaching them how to use a clock.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can get you comfortable with the types of plays you're going to be running in those situations and things like time management, getting that timeout after a first down, doing things when the time is low, making certain passes or not making dumb passes that are going to, you know, not be able to get out of bounds and end up making you have to burn a timeout. Things like that I think you can work on. And I remember those situations in practice in my own, you know, football career, and it was definitely conditioning, but I remember those situations, you know, when you put a clock on and you start, you know, keeping track of who's scoring and things like that. Even in practice, it does bring a little bit of an extra level. Guys start hitting a little bit harder. They start playing through the whistle a little bit more just because they take pride in that thing. And I wonder if you're going to see more in this offseason, more ones versus ones instead of your starters versus the scout team and stuff like that. More iron versus iron instead of mostly an individual drills where those things normally happen, and seeing, you know, the best of the best go up against each other in practice instead of, you know, going up against the second or third string, which is usually how it goes. But David, the last thing I want to touch on kind of speaks to what we've been talking about with the wide receiver three position and who that spot is going to go to. And Anthony Lynn was asked about that specifically and what he's looking for in that, and he had one answer, which was speed. So what did you think when you heard that from Anthony Lynn, and how do you think the guys they have right now fit what he actually wants?
I was surprised by that, honestly, just based on how the Chargers have drafted, you know, the two wide receivers they brought in. I mean, Joe Reed's got some decent speed. I mean, he ran a 4.47, but KJ Hill is not going to win any, you know, any races anytime soon. He isn't the fastest wide receiver out there. And, you know, of the guys that are in that wide receiver three conversation, there isn't a whole lot of guys that I would say is going to be a true burner, a guy that's going to take the top off the defense. I don't think the Chargers really possess that type of guy. Their plan for the wide receiver three to me is a little bit unclear. I'm hoping to learn a little bit more about that as training camp opens and as they start to give us a little bit more access to what these practices are going to look like. That is one aspect of the Chargers offense that I am going to be keenly watching on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it definitely will be interesting to see how this ends up breaking down. But I think for that specifically, we were talking before the show that actually the fastest guy they have is Jalen Guyton, who's not even a guy who is talked about a lot in that spot. And I don't think he's necessarily competing for the third wide receiver spot, but he ran a 4.35. Andre Patton ran a 4.4. KJ Hill ran something like a 4.67, so he's definitely not, you know, what Anthony Lynn says that he's looking for. But I think that really it's going to be a big mix of all those guys. But does the wide receiver three position even matter for this team, which is something we're going to get into with the voicemails coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, I just want to thank you guys for giving us enough voicemails to do another fan voicemail segment today, and especially with the Joey Bosa news this week. I definitely wanted to get some Joey Bosa voicemails onto the show today because I know there's a lot of excitement with Charger fans right now about the Joey Bosa signing. So first, we will start with something that's not Bosa related before getting into the Bosa ones, but we're going to start with Craig, who heard what we had to say last time he called in for the last voicemail segment and has something this week about the wide receiver three position. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, fellas. Craig in Texas. My last call got a little disjointed because of another incoming call, so I will try this again. Again, wanted to touch base about that wide receiver three conversation. Try to be a little bit more concise this time. I want to say that I don't think the Chargers are all that concerned about the wide receiver three spot. With the offense kind of shifting over to a little bit more run-centric, and with Anthony Lynn wanting to kind of employ that same offensive strategy he had back in Buffalo when he was working alongside Greg Roman, And seeing what he's doing in Baltimore out there with Jackson, I think that A-Lin's looking to do something not exactly the same, but, you know, some similar strategy in that regard. And wide receiver three isn't a huge part of that offense. It's more tight end centric. So with that said, I think Hunter Henry is going to be huge this year. Parham getting a chance out there as well in those dual tight end sets. And I guess kind of like the default wide receiver three turns into that tight end one. Or if you want to kind of sprinkle Eckler in there, it's kind of all-purpose guy coming out of the backfield playing more of their role as well. So just outside of, you know, things like KJ Hill and people kind of putting a lot of stock into the fact that we drafted him, I think that was more of a situation where you just had an amazing player that fell where no one thought he'd be, and just kind of not being able to pass on that. So I think we should stop putting so much stock into who's going to be the wide receiver three, and maybe take into consideration that the Chargers may not be considering that particular spot a place of need. A position of need, sorry. And you know, a lot of the guys that they brought in, Joe Reed, he can do a little bit of everything. They're looking at some of these do-everything guys that can play multiple spots, and kind of reduces the need for, I guess, a guy who has a particular skill set as a slot receiver. But that's my thoughts. And again, trying to get this nickname rolling, man. All the disrespect my guy Keenan Allen out there is receiving in his NFL top 100 crap, man. Let's get it going. Doomsday Slay, man. I hope he picks it up and we can run with it. That's what I'm going with from here on out. So I love it. Hope you guys like it. But, again, appreciate it all the time. Appreciate the effort and everything you're doing, man. Bolt up, bolt gang it on, bang. Later.
So I definitely get what you're saying there. And I think when you're saying, you know, that wide receiver three turns into a tight end one, I mean, you do see a lot of 11 personnel with the three wide receivers, one tight end, and one running back. So that would still work. But potentially taking a tight end two and getting him on the field and running more double tight end sets, which we've seen teams like the Ravens do. And we've seen Greg Roman specifically utilize, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. But John, when you look at schemes for this team and the different kinds of schemes we could be seeing and formations we could be seeing for the Chargers, do you think that Craig here has a point that maybe they are not worrying about this wide receiver three spot so much because they're not planning on having that position on the field as much as they have had in years past?
I think they have it as a priority for certain packages, if you will. I think they're going to have a type of position where instead of having the tight end, they have three wide receivers, a quarterback, and a running back, and they could still run out of that. It's kind of like spreading them out, basically. And you might want to need to give your tight end a rest, so you have your third wide receiver. And there's a lot of positions you can do with this. It's not always going to be the same formation every time you come in. It's not like Marty Ball days where it was I formation and you somehow, some way learn to move your offensive lineman around during the play to make a running play work. In this situation, they're probably going to have probably start the game with, say, two wide receivers, a tight end. And then as the game rolls on, sub out that tight end for the third wide receiver, and you can still run the ball but also leave more wide receivers open. I think they still are trying to make that wide receiver three a priority, but I think he is right. I don't think it's as important as it was in years past where you had Phillip Rivers, who is going to pass the ball at least 40 times, and you need that third receiver. And with Tyrod, you're not going to have that. You'll maybe get 20 throws unless we're somehow down by 21 early. You're going to have like maybe 20 throws a game out of Tyrod, so you don't really have to have the third wide receiver, but it does come into play in formations.
Well, I think not even about just having, you know, that on the field that much. It's just when you have that guy on the field, who is going to make the most out of it? Because I think when you hear Anthony Lynn talking about speed, it's to take the top off of a defense to open things up underneath for guys like Hunter Henry and Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen, right? I mean, I think that's what ideally they would want. But I'm excited to see the formations that come out. Anthony Lynn did say that they might not be able to get as much of their new schemes and formations in as they wanted to just because of COVID-19 and everything. So it might be a weird mix of both things, but there were some things that they did very well. Also have to give a shout out to the nickname. I definitely would endorse the nickname Doomsday Slay. I think it has a nice ring to it. I like that. So I think it's pretty good. But let's get into the next voicemail. This one's going to be for Curtis Aloki. I haven't heard from him in a while. Let's hear what he has for us this week.
Hey, guys. Curtis Aloki. Sorry I haven't called in a while, but I'm calling now that I've gotten that new Joey Bosa news. That's obviously, I think you guys are going to cover that, but man, that's awesome. I'm pretty excited about it. I think a lot of us have been asking the same questions, like what's going to happen with Joey Bosa? Is he going to resign, especially due to the fact that it took him so long to sign during his rookie year. But I think it's really cool, and I think it's a really good strategic move. I'm not the huge Tom Telesco fan, like a lot of other people, but I think this is a good move. I think this gives us enough opportunity to see what now truly what Justin Herbert's about, and why I bring that up is because the contract can very well become crippling for a superstar player like that. Not to mention, if we're going to keep players around like Joey Bosa, then that tells me we're definitely going to keep players around like Derwin James. So it gives us enough time to figure that out. If Justin Herbert doesn't work out, he'll be gone in 4 years, especially if we're not going to use the fifth-year option. So just I look forward to hearing what you guys have to say about that. I'm sure you guys are pretty excited. So go Bolts.
So if I'm understanding you correctly here, Curtis, I think what you're saying is just right now is the time you can make a deal like this. And it's smart to make a deal like this because you're going to have Justin Herbert under a rookie contract for the next five seasons. So him and Joey Bosa will kind of overlap for five of the six seasons that Joey Bosa is now locked up for. And you don't have to pay Justin Herbert for a long time if he ends up being a big deal. And if he's not, by the time that 4 years is over, they won't pick up the fifth year option potentially. And then they'll end up going in a different direction. But David, do you agree with him here that right now is a good time for them financially to be doing something like this because they have Phillip Rivers' big quarterback hit going off the books? And right now you can afford to pay other guys like Derwin James and Joey Bosa because of the money you're saving on the quarterback.
Definitely right now is the right time, especially after the NFL put some assurances or some protections in on where the salary cap is going to sit next year. The Chargers organization, along with other teams across the league, immediately felt more comfortable to start, you know, getting some deals done. The Chargers were slated to have like over $100 million in cap space before COVID-19. Now with the assurances put in place, they should still have around $70-plus million. So they still have plenty of money to work with. So I would expect that this is not going to be the only deal that they get done. I think that they're definitely going to get the Keenan Allen deal done as well. I don't think it's a matter of if, it's more of a matter of when. I think they will get it done. They should get it done. They should enjoy the flexibility that they have right now with having a quarterback on a rookie deal, and they need to go ahead and take care of some other things so that way going into the offseason they can have their focuses elsewhere.
And more specifically, keep those guys away from getting any offers for any other teams and before the next big wide receiver can sign and cost the Chargers more money, like what just happened with Myles Garrett getting that money, and then Joey Bosa had to get a little bit more. But we do have another Joey Bosa voicemail on about what happens next. Let's hear what Donnie from Wisconsin has for us this week.
What's up, guys? This is Donnie from Wisconsin. Saw the Bosa news last night. I'm calling because I'm ecstatic that they actually got it done. I'm surprised they got it done. But it's awesome. I'm super happy. Definitely needed to keep him. I saw a clip that Derwin James was saying to him that they're going to be doing this for a long time. So hopefully in a year or two, Derwin's contract will come up with an extension as well. Just wondering, though, now that all that money is to Bosa and Keenan and Hunter still need a contract as well, I was wondering who you guys would rather have or if you think that they'll both get signed. I'm kind of thinking it's most likely going to be Keenan, but hopefully both, but just curious what you think. But super glad we got both up. Later.
All right, so I think that's a good question, and obviously, like we've talked about, Keenan now goes to the top of the Chargers' priority list, and hopefully by the time next year comes around, you're not worried about having to sign both those guys. But, John, we haven't really got to get your take on the Joey Bosa deal because you haven't been on since Monday's show. So, first, I just want to know what you thought of the Joey Bosa deal and where you think the Chargers would go next between Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen, and if that's even a conversation, or if they could get both of those guys still.
Well, when I first saw the Joey Bosa signing, I was shocked. But seeing how they gave him more of a signing bonus, which I think helps a lot with how much money per year he makes, I think that saved us some cap space. So I like how Telesco maneuvered the contract around. And I think the other part that helped the contract was how he had $102 million guaranteed, which is amazing. I mean, how would you like to know that you have $102 million that will be guaranteed to you even if you blow your ACL on the very first play of the season? Like, he should have nothing but time on his hands to be training and bettering his body now that he has that contract. There should be no other worries. His life is basically set for him. You just have to keep yourself healthy and play your career. When it comes to the next step, I'd have to say it's probably going to be Keenan. I mean, he's shown that he can stay healthy the next few years, and he's been the most consistent. He gets a lot of catches. Is he going to get that many catches this year? Probably not. We're not going to throw it as much, but if you need a first down, he's that guy. If you need a third, if you need a just a quick little five-yard completion on first down, he's that guy. Hunter Henry, he hasn't proved a healthy season yet, so he still needs to prove that to you. I think he can be the franchise tag type of guy, that one-year deal type of guy until you see otherwise, but I think Keenan has to be your next step, and Hunter Henry is basically an afterthought right now until he can prove health-wise. I don't think you should invest money in a guy that's going to be playing half the games a year like Ryan Matthews did.
And David, do you think that there's a chance still that they could bring back both of these guys, knowing that, you know, Joey Bosa is going to make $27 million now and Keenan Allen could be making somewhere around $18 million a season?
I mean, I think it'll be a little bit difficult, but I do think they have the money to do it. I think with Keenan, they know that now that he's put three seasons together playing 16 games, that they kind of know what they have in him, and they know they respect that reliability and his otherworldly production that he's brought to the table. And I agree with John, it's more of a wait and see approach on Hunter Henry. It's, hey, go out there and show me you can play 16 games, you can be healthy, and I'm sure if he does that, the stats at the end of the year are going to be very nice, because Hunter Henry is a phenomenal player. That's all we are all waiting to see. The Chargers are included in that. If he can prove that he can stay healthy, then I think he's also going to get a deal from the Chargers as well.
And I don't want to be naive enough to think that at this point the Chargers are going to be able to bring back everybody. I mean, you just can't be giving every player that you have that comes up a top 10 at their position type of salary. You just can't do it. And I think that's why it's so important that you get contributions out of guys like Jerry Tillery on his rookie contract, that you find ways to get production out of Nazir Adderley while he's still on his rookie contract. Having two linebackers, you know, you didn't go out and have to sign Corey Littleton to a $12+ million per season deal. You have cheap linebackers at those positions. You have a relatively expensive nose tackle, and you're still going to have to decide what you want to do with guys like Melvin Ingram. But the guys that are on their rookie contracts, and for Tom Telesco to keep continuing to bring in young talent, because eventually you're not going to be able to keep all these guys even if they perform well. You have to keep the well coming. You have to keep on bringing in guys that can contribute on their rookie deals so you can afford to give guys like Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen these types of contracts. But I think there was two guys at the top of their list going into this offseason to try to have a locked up before they hit unrestricted free agency next year. It's Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen. And one is now signed. The other, it sounds like they're already talking about that extension. So the Chargers are in favor of giving that extension, which I think has to be a good sign. The Chargers are keeping their players. All of those jerseys you're buying, you might not have to worry about, you know, getting rid of them or not being able to wear them anymore, because Chargers are keeping players now. For Joey Bosa, it's going to be 10 seasons. So that Joey Bosa jersey, great investment right now. I think that Chargers fans have to be happy that their team is investing in their favorite players, because I know I'm excited about it. The fact that he's going to be here with this young star-studded defense for the next six seasons. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys on Monday. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to be our next voicemail caller and get your voice on the show, we still have a couple. We need one more for the next show we do voicemails. The number is 323-524-7924, and we try to get every Chargers voicemail on the show. But that is going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you guys on Monday. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.